Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. When you sign up for our free InvestTalk Insider program, you have instant access to a whole library of webinars. Breaking the risk barrier, measuring and managing investment risk, doing dividends right, a 30-minute crash course in dividend investing. These and many more are yours free when you're an insider. And you can sign up now on investtalk.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition, December 30th of InvestTalk. I appreciate you being with me. And we're to help with the average investor. We're trying to help you. We want you to become above average. That's the deal. That's the work we're working toward. That's the goal, I should say, is what we're working toward. Trying to, you know, try not to make too many missteps along the way. Try to do the right thing for our retirement nest egg. And tracking, monitoring, these kinds can be not that exciting. It can be a chore when you're tracking and monitoring your progress. And, you know, if you're not doing well, it's even more of a chore. But, you know, that's when you really got to concentrate and try to understand what's happening. And you may not think mutual funds as needing much regular maintenance. If you're a mutual fund investor, you purchase the mutual funds and put it in the way and you think you're very good, well diversified, and you're done. But you still have to do some work with mutual funds. What happens if the manager leaves? What happens if they decide to go in a different direction? Because no one reads those prospectuses. And what happens if they change the prospectus and you're going to get the mailings from them and you're never going to read them? You gotta, you know, what if they change the whole, what you thought they were doing, now they move in a whole different direction. It does happen. Many mutual funds are the underperformers. The big mutual fund family close them so they don't have to report on their failures. So they only keep the good ones. So they going forward, they say, look at that. You know, so you gotta keep track of your funds. You know, one of the things when you track them, you got to, you know, make sure that you compare the performance of the mutual fund to its closest index. You don't want to compare a big cap growth fund with a mid cap index. This doesn't make sense. You got to make sure you can do the comparisons. And you compare with their peer group, the same big cap mutual fund. Over here, what are they in? How do they rank in their groupings of the same funds doing the same thing? Kind of have to know how to do that. You can do that. You know, there's a lot of this comparison and a lot of this work you can do on Morningstar.com for free. Morningstar.com. You can do these kinds of things. And also be careful when you buy. I worry about people looking at the performance, the last 5-year performance of mutual fund. Oh man, this thing has beaten all the averages. It's been doing very, beat all its peer group, done very well. But look at every year of those 5 years. What if 1 year they just had a super great year and the other four lousy? But over the 5 years, better than average. You gotta look. You want consistency. You know, in your mutual funds, be consistent so you can compound the returns. Anyways, and of course you got to look at the expense ratio. You got to make sure you do that. Only buy no load funds. There's things you just have to know, and hopefully we can teach you here. Now, do you have questions about tracking your mutual funds? We can talk about it. 888-99 charters are anytime number. I hope you feel that you're part of the discussion because I want you to be. So give me a call now.
Hi, my name is Daniel. I'm giving you a call from Menlo Park, California. Just had a quick question. I listen to you on 1220 every day. Just had a quick question about, I know oil's been in the news a lot, about a stock symbol KOG having to do with, I think it's called the Bakken Oil Reserves, and just wondered what your take was on, I'm a possible buyer, not an owner yet. I would appreciate your wisdom on that. Thanks so much. Have a good day.
Okay, the symbol KOG is improper. Nothing comes up with KOG as the symbol. So I don't know what stock you're talking about. If you're when you're talking about the Balkan or the Balkan Kroger, is that who he's talking about? There's no, let me try that. K-R-O-G-E-R. Kroger Company, if that's what it is, but that's KR. That's not, you know, the symbol is KR. And that's a supermarket. He was talking about the oils, so that's not it. Balkan oil, if you're talking about the Balkan oil play, you need to be very, very careful, because a lot of those Shell oils companies are in financial distress. And some of them are not going to make it. Many of them are not going to make it. So don't take a look at its debt level. Take a look at its profit margins and sales growth. You're going to find they're shrinking. And I, you know, I've said on the radio many times in the last month or 2 months or 3 months, if you're going to buy oil, I much prefer big integrated oil companies. And we have owned, we bought some. And I think that's where you want to be, because they can survive almost anything. They're going to be buying up the small shale producers when they go bankrupt or get so distressed they can pick them up for pennies on the dollar. So be very careful where you're going to be in the oil patch. And the shale oil area is pretty risky, very risky at this point, because the oil prices are so low. What happens if oil prices go down further? Now, do I think they're going to go down further? I think they're pretty low. I think they're near or at their low. But could they go down further? Of course they could. So what happens when all these high-cost oil producers, you know, they're pumping oil out of the ground at $50, $60, $70 a barrel, and they're getting $30, $40. What if they get $20, $30? How long can they handle that pain, that loss? They can't do it for very long, especially some of them are very leveraged with debt. An either-or approach is as old school as the cuckoo clock. Active versus passive mutual funds. What should you know? Active versus passive. We've talked about that many times. And that argument goes on and on and on. And passive mutual fund buying gets very popular when the stock market's in a bull run, a bull phase. Everybody thinks that that's the way to go. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, by the way. But then when the market doesn't run up, like we've had this year, all of a sudden more and more people get interested in more active mutual funds, more active management. And one or the other is neither good nor bad. It depends on the environment you're in and what kind of investor you are. That's going to be one of our main talking points today. I'm going to talk about the Treasury yields that I was trying to get to yesterday in 2016. Will they fall? They could fall. Everybody's expecting them to go up. When everybody expects something, I like to look at the other side to see, you know, just to touch base. Don't lose the fact that you can be wrong. Okay. I also want to talk about why Europe could be your best stock bet in this 2016. The Europe. And why China may not be. Another talking point. China faces more painful choices in 2016. China looks very tough. Europe looks a little bit better. Now, I worry about this as I read through the articles. A lot of experts are thinking Europe is going to look good this in 2016. And you know what I think about the opinions of experts. They are usually wrong. But yeah, I do. That doesn't mean you don't read the opinions and understand what the arguments are. You just have to decipher for yourself. And that's why I'd like to give both sides. You have to decipher for yourself what is the more likely choice, and then you just make a decision on your own. Don't take everybody's opinion, and always get both sides of an opinion. That's the safest place to be. And that's what we're going to talk about today, unless you call and you want to talk about some other subject. Be happy to discuss it. You know, certain things are out of the news. You know, if you haven't heard anything about Greece and their debts, problems, is that over with? Is that going to come back and haunt us? I haven't seen a lot of things. They drop out of the news, and then it comes back and comes. Now, today, it's all about oil prices. You notice that oil prices for months now have been pushing around the stock market. Oil prices. Why? I don't think they should. Yes, it's an important commodity, very important. But should they push around the stock market? I don't think so. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. It's a very shortened trading week. Tomorrow's the last trading day. Volume for the last couple of weeks has been very light. It was a down day today. The market was down, Dow was down 117, the NASDAQ down 42, and the S&P down 15. So it was a down day after 2, 3, 4 days up. So are we down for the year? Well, the S&P 500 is now down for the year, but just barely. Other indexes are worse. There are some indexes that are better, but generally the market has been pretty bad this year. With a new year coming, though, it's time to take stock of your investments. How long has it been since you've rebalanced your own retirement portfolio? And, of course, one of the services I provide to a limited number of our listeners is a free retirement review. My next date is January 13th in San Ramon. Because my schedule is limited, these are first-come, first-served appointments. So to save your time on January 13th, just go to investtalk.com and click on Schedule a Meeting.
Hey, I've got a question for you on bonds. I've heard different stories about bonds and bond mutual funds. Is there an advantage or a disadvantage to either one? I sure appreciate you guys, and I appreciate you answering my question. Bye-bye.
Well, the advantage of owning a bond mutual fund is you get instant diversification because they own hundreds of them. And in a bond mutual fund, you can pick short-term, long-term, or mid-term, mid-maturity date bonds. The downside of owning those things, though, and the upside of owning the actual bonds, is that when you buy a bond itself, and own it and put it in your portfolio, you know that you're going to get your money back. It's going to go to back to par. So if you buy it at par, and that's what they issue the bonds at par, they issue at par, whatever it is, and then you hold it, you get your percentage return on year after year if you got a five-year bond, and then at the end of the period, you get your money back. On a bond mutual fund, that's not how that works. The bond mutual fund goes, its net asset value goes up and down depending on interest rates. So if interest rates go up, the net asset value of the bond fund goes down. If you own the bond, you don't really care if the value of the bond goes up or down if you hold it to maturity. And most people, that's what they do. I kind of like owning a variety of a bunch of bonds themselves and then ladder them, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, but I'm not going out more than about, you know, 4 years right now, maybe five, to get my highest yield. And then I just keep reinvesting as they come due. And I like that better. So there's pros and cons for both. Especially if you're a small investor, you don't have a lot of money, then you're probably almost forced to go the bond fund route. But just be aware that if interest rates go up, the value of that bond fund goes down. You still get your dividend yield, but what good is a 3 or 5% dividend yield if the bond fund goes down 10% value? Doesn't really, you're not going, you're losing money still. So just be aware of that, okay? And, you know, I'm going to talk about treasury yields. You know, the Fed has increased the rate already one time in 2015. Now, the Fed has said that it would not be a normal rate increasing cycle. What's a normal rate increasing cycle? Remember, they said this one is not going to be normal. Normally, the Fed starts raising rates, and they raise their rates historically four times in a row at the minimum up, or four times in a row down, quarter point, quarter point, quarter point, quarter point, or half a point, or a quarter and a half, whatever it is. They're not going to do that this time. That's what they said. They're not going to do that this time. So, well, if they're not going to do it in 2016, what is going to be the cycle this time? And no one really knows that. And is that mean, can the treasury yield actually go down when the rate, when the Federal Reserve is in the rate raising cycle? I think it can. And I'll give you my arguments before, right after this break, I'll give you my arguments. I'm financial advisor and registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. Justin and I would like to thank you for being a regular InvestTalk listener. The InvestTalk production crew and all the staff at KPP Financial want to wish you a happy and prosperous new year. All the best for everybody, your family, and everybody else, all your friends, relatives, everybody. Thank you very much for listening this year. In an 899 chart, we're going to talk to Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to find out what you thought about, I want to try to max out my 401k as well as my IRA,
mm-hmm.
but right now I'm not making enough to actually do that. I was thinking if I took out like a home equity line to fund them, would that be a good idea or not?
Well, I'm not a big proponent of borrowing money just to fund your retirement accounts, especially on a home equity, because you know our goal is to get that house paid off by the time you retire. I mean, that's the goal. And I understand the desire to want to, you know, increase your contributions to your retirement account because it's tax deductible this year, and you know you want to save for your retirement. But you know the home equity. You know if you're borrowing money, you got to pay that money back at some point. And can you make more money on your IRA and your 401k than the cost of the borrowing? That's really what you're asking. And you know it's that's a risk. If the money that you're borrowing is cheap enough, yeah, you can do that. But go ahead.
Actually, one of the reasons as well would be to, you know, cut down my taxes, because if I don't max out my taxes, then I'm paying probably maybe close to $1,500 or so.
Uh-huh.
I was just wondering if it would offset it, kind of.
Well, it would reduce your taxes. It would. But again, you're increasing your cost because you're going to have to pay back that loan at some point. So it's a question of the reduction of taxes and the money I can make on the money in my IRA or 401k. Is that going to be worth the risk of doing that, of borrowing the money to use it for that purpose? And you got to be real careful because, you know, what if the market goes down strongly? Then it's not going to work out very good for you. Oh, so be very careful. You have to think about it. And it's a personal thing. If the money was costly, I wouldn't do it, you know, the borrowed money. If it's expensive, I wouldn't do it. Expensive meaning, you know, over 5%, I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
Thanks,
okay.
Art. Appreciate the call. Thank you, Art. Appreciate that. So I was talking about the treasuries, okay? Treasury yield. Will the treasury yield actually fall or go up in 2016? Most people think the yield, the amount the treasuries pay, will go up because the Fed is raising rates. But my first argument is maybe that the Fed itself said it's not going to be a normal rate raising cycle. So what if they don't raise rates again for 6 months, 8 months? What if the dollar isn't finished rallying? What if the dollar gets stronger? That means that the yield will actually go down, even though the Fed is raising it. So is the dollar going to get stronger? It could. It got pretty strong last year. Now, I'll tell you my personal opinion. I don't think it is. I don't. But I don't ever throw out the other opinion on the other side. Also, what the EU and Japan are still loosening their money. So that means our dollar gets stronger. And China could go into recession as far as we know. They're very secretive about what's going on there. We know they're in more trouble than they let the world know. So, and if commodities are still under pressure downward, all these things will make the dollar stronger, and that would make the yield fall, even while the Fed is raising it. So don't just automatically assume the Fed is raising rates, and therefore the yield on U.S. Treasuries will go up. Not necessarily. Remember what rate they control. They don't control their Treasury rates. They only control the overnight rate. The other rates just kind of follow in kind, generally speaking, but they don't have to. So I'm just pointing out the possibilities there and the contrarian argument. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You know, our main talking point is all about active versus passive mutual funds. Investing, and we briefly touched on that active management becomes more popular when the stock market's not doing very well. Passive management becomes very popular when the stock market is in a bull market phase. It just is normal. There's nothing wrong with either one of these approaches. But if you're passive, just make, you know, the thing you want to look at is costs. Watch the expense ratios in the funds. And, you know, if you're very worried or you're getting close to retirement, and a passive investor would live through the next recession. And even if your account goes down 30, 40%, you just don't worry about it if you're a passive investor and you go through it. If you're more active, then, you know, you might take time and, to be defensive against that kind of thing. It's really, there's no one right thing here, being active or passive. It's over long periods of time, it has been proven that, you know, if you're a passive investor, that will work. That would be more consistent. But I have never come across, rarely do I come across a person who doesn't get anxious and very upset about a bear market and being a passive investor. They can't do it. They can't do it. They can't handle it. They can't handle the downstroke. It gets to a point where they just can't handle it. So you have to understand yourself. That's why we do that Riskalyze on our website. It's free to try to give an idea of what kind of risk that you will tolerate and be comfortable with. How much loss are you willing to accept and be okay with? That versus how much gain. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up on the next half hour, suggestions for the New Year's resolution list that could make a difference for your retirement. 888-99-CHART. Call me right now.
Coming up on the next Invest Talk, the typical default benchmark, the S&P 500, may not be correlated to the assets that you actually own. How to tell if your portfolio is a winner? That's one of our talking points on the next Invest Talk. But your questions come first. Please join us for our talking points and bring yours. And thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. This is Invest Talk for Wednesday, December 30th. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now. And you can always see his latest check updates on investtalk.com. The next one is January 13th in San Ramon. Or if you're out of reach of our California offices, you can hook up with Steve on Skype or by telephone. Click on Schedule an Appointment on investtalk.com.
Okay, your questions come first, as always. Whether you have a stock strategy or just want to know whether you should convert from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, we're here for all those kinds of questions. Anything financial, 888-99-CHART.
My question is Monsanto, ticker symbol MON. Bought some last week. Just wanted to see what your outlook is for Monsanto. Thank you.
Okay, Monsanto is a commodity company. And, of course, we all know the commodities have been beaten up last year or this year. Monsanto manufactures corn and other crop seeds and crop protection products for growers worldwide. So it's around the world. It's a $43.5 billion company. It's not small. And the question is how much money is it going to make? Well, this year it's going to make $5.27. That's about 6% less than it made last year. And it's scheduled to make more in its corporate year is 2017. They say it's going to make 20% more. It pays a 2.2% dividend. It has a very good return on equity. It's not too expensive. You know, at a $98 stock, it'll make $6.33. So that's about, you know, a 15, 16 PE. And that is the low of this five-year range. So I like those kinds of things. The question you should really ask yourself is the commodity route done? Are we at the end of the pressure downward on commodities? And if your answer to yourself is, yeah, I think it is, then you go for a stock like this. Now, this stock also, you know, will be dependent. Remember, it's a worldwide company. It'll be dependent on a lot of foreign economies and growing food. You know, always then there's a need to grow food. So if the economies are growing, it should do better. But a lot of economies are not growing. So you got some real dangers here, but I do think it's a reasonable price. Monsanto, M-O-N. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So let's go to our Invest Talk Personal, a fresh start. A new year, of course, is coming around. We only have one trading day left of this year. So we have a new year. Everybody makes New Year's resolutions coming up and day after tomorrow. Here are some things you can do to improve your financial picture, maybe for your New Year's resolution. And this is from an article by Teresa Mears, who writes for U.S. News. And there's a link to the article on our investtalk.com if you want to read the whole thing. Max out your 401ks. Max out your retirement accounts. If you're, you know, it's $18,000 a year now, and if you're over 50, you can add another six to that to make it $24,000. How about make a will? A will. How many people don't have a will? And review your estate plan if you have one. If you don't want, make one. I know no one wants to think about dying. I know that. I don't want to. But you do, don't try to, you know, if you've ever been an executor, and I have, it is a real task. You know, if the person who assigns you as an executor, and you die and you're going to assign someone as your executor in your will, it's a real task to try to figure out what's what, who gets what. If you don't have a will, the state will come in and decide that, and it takes forever. And the state takes a big chunk. So make a will. Increase your savings for the year. How about that? That would be something good. Just do a little bit. If you can't afford it much, just do a little bit. And automate it. Have it just taken out of your paycheck. Save it. How are maybe get organized with your finances. Instead of a shoebox and throwing receipts in there, maybe be a little bit more organized. Or how about something more practical? Okay, you know your cable TV, your insurance, your cell phone service. How about ask for a discount? Call them up and say, hey, I may think about changing my service. Can you give me a better deal? Many times you will. Pay your bills on time. Improve your credit rating. That's what that would do. Need to have good credit. And that's InvestTalk Personal. We're here to help you, ready to answer any money questions you might have. And you can call our anytime answering line as well at 888-99-CHART.
Where do you begin? There are so many ways you can make serious missteps in buying or selling your home. And of course, your home is an important element in your retirement portfolio. That's why KPP Financial has a licensed real estate agent on staff. Have a question about real estate? Send it directly to Justin. Click on Contact Justin on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, my name is Dave. I'm a recent graduate of college, and I have about $15,000 in cash, about $2,000 in bonds, and about $6,000 in mutual funds through American Funds. Since I'm only 24 years old, I'm trying to decide what I should be doing at this point. Do I slowly start to enter the market? Should I maybe save that money for a down payment on a home? What advice can you give for someone that has a long period until retirement and kind of wants to earn some extra cash?
Well, if you're going to buy a home, that's a whole separate kind of investment than investing in the stock market. And I've always recommended if you're going to set money aside for a home, then set it aside for the home. Don't necessarily risk it in the stock market because you never know where that's going to go. But at 24 years old, you're awful young. And if you're not thinking about buying a home in the next few years, then, you, of course, you want to put the market to work. And at this point, I'm going to suggest dollar cost averaging in. And for everybody else, what that means is you put in money every paycheck or once every 2 weeks, once a month, consistently the same amount in the market until you have all the money invested that you want to invest. And that way, whether the market's up or down, you get an average price into the market. And most people do this by buying indexes, you know, ETFs or mutual funds. But you can do it with any kind of bond, any kind of funds. You can do it with stocks, but it's more difficult because you got to pick different stocks and you don't want to put, you know, you got trading costs involved. And there is an argument out there that if you're really young, you just dump all the money in the market and just ignore it. Don't, because who knows if you're picking a top or a bottom? You don't know. I don't know. No one knows. I wish we did know. I can tell you whether stocks are expensive or inexpensive. I can tell you that. And I think the stocks are a little bit expensive because earnings are not there for this last year. So I think stocks are a bit expensive. Even though the market down for the year, I still think they're cheap. Stocks overall are not cheap. So, you know, maybe you wait till they become cheap. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk about Europe. Europe could be your best place to be in 2016. And this is according to some economic forecasts by some investment banks. Now, I always These experts, you take what they say with a grain of salt. You don't just necessarily buy them. They feel that there's a lot of positives coming out of Europe right now. Okay, and they think you should be in Europe as opposed to emerging markets. They believe that the trauma of the Greek debt crisis fallout from China's growth and the slowdown there, all those kind and the commodity slumps, that's kind of behind them. And Europe equity markets still managed to outperform. Did you know that for this year? So they not anything tremendous, but they did okay. So they feel that Europe has better earnings and more attractive valuations of their stocks because they've been so beat up, you know, in the last few years. So, and they feel like, let's see, if the dollar gets strong, that helps the EU. That helps those companies trade, you know, that use the euro. They also say they have a certain few themes they like. They think earnings is going to be the key. They're going to be better earnings. They like banks and consumer sector. They think that's going to be where to be. And their theme is they think the euro is going to get weaker compared to the dollar. That if that doesn't happen, by the way, their whole scheme is probably out the window. Be very careful. Experts are often wrong, but I do think you need to understand where they're coming from. And that's what they think. So just be aware that many experts are calling for next year, for this year, 2016, to be a good year for the European stocks. Job number one on InvestTalk is answering your questions. Our 24-hour listen line is open for any money question. 888-99-CHART.
I'm interested in your opinion on Raven Industries, R-A-V-N. Should I consider selling at this point? I'm just curious as to whether I should hold on since this is a small cap with some growth potential, or would this be a good place to sell? Thanks a lot, and I appreciate you guys' time.
Well, this stock has been going down most of the year, and it's right near its lows for the year. Raven Industries, R-A-V-N, manufactures electronic systems, plastic sheeting, flow control devices, military parachutes, and specialty outerwear. It's a $572 million company. Sales have been shrinking 20% or more for the last three quarters. They made 86 cents in 2015. 2016, they're going to make 48 cents. Then they'll bounce up again in 2017, according to this. It is a, $15 stock and going to make 48 cents? Makes it expensive, very expensive. If they make 62 cents in 2016, then you're looking at a stock which is 21 PE, still expensive. Not a great return on equity of 11. I'll tell you what, if it doesn't bounce from here in the next few days, if it breaks below where it is today, I think I just give up on it. It's too small. It's, you know, these small caps, you want them to be growing sales and growing earnings and strongly. Well, this isn't. There's nothing. I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't own it. Then why are they paying a 3.3% dividend? A $572 million? They shouldn't be paying any dividend. That money should be rolled back into R&D, getting the company growing. This shouldn't be a dividend play. Raven Industry, it's machinery. It's interesting that it's a machinery farm industry, and there's a lot of things that it sells are not machinery and farm related. I don't get that at all. Anyways, that's called Raven Industries. I wouldn't be a buyer of it. I wouldn't hold it either. Above average investing for the average investor, that's what we're all about here on Invest Talk. We're here to help you avoid the mistakes that can cost you money. In a falling market, better than average means suffering less. Doesn't necessarily mean you make money in a falling market, but you want to be better than average. If the whole market's falling, you're likely to fall with it, but you don't want to fall the same. You want to kind of stop that fall at some point. In a rising market, it means you want to be moving up and taking and having profits, but doesn't necessarily mean you have to beat the market. Because you have that defensive attitude going, you know, in a falling market. So you, it's being better than average. What does that mean? What does that mean for you? You got to have information, perspective, have knowledge, make key decisions better than just the average guy just sitting there doesn't know what they're doing. So ask questions. Bring your comments. 888-99-CHART. You can reach me anytime.
Here are the directions for reaching Steve this afternoon with your question. Just call 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T. Have a question about how best to get into the market? Or maybe you're feeling unsure about your current investments. That's what this is all about. This is Invest Talk.
Hi, Steve or Justin. I have a question concerning going long versus going short. If you could make the same amount of money or how it works. If you bought a stock going long at 5 and you sold it at 50, you'd have a 900% increase. Work the same way if you sold a stock at 50 and you bought it back at 5, would you still get that 900% increase? Or I just have in my mind that there's something about when you short, you can only make one times. There's a one-time multiple maximum or something. I'm kind of confused about that. If you could help me out with that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, when you go short, you're expecting the stock to go down. That's how you make money. You sell it at a high price, and you buy it back at a low price, and you make the difference. The selling short, though, there's a cap because the low price can the lowest can go is to zero, right? That's the lowest can go. So you have a cap on your profits. When you buy a stock long, it can go from $5 to $50 to $60 to $70 to $100 to $1,000. There's no top. Okay? So that's one of the differences. Another difference is the market overall has a bias to the upside. There are a lot more up periods, and they're longer than there are down periods, which are shorter for the overall market. So you want to have a bias, you want to stay with the bias on the long side. So you're fighting that bias if you're shorting. I'm not saying you don't short. I'm just saying these are the issues. If you short and you're wrong, let's say you short a stock at 50, you're hoping to go down. What if it goes to 60, 70, 80, 90? Remember, in a short, you have to eventually buy that stock back and give it back to the person you borrowed it from. You have to buy it to get out of your short position. What if the stock keeps going up and up and up and up and up and it costs you're losing more and more and more money? Your loss on a short can be infinite. When you buy a stock long and you're wrong, the worst that can happen is it goes to zero. You're limited on your loss. So those are kind of the differences, long and short. Okay? When you sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider, you have access to a long list of recorded webinars like Profiting in a Rising Interest Rate Environment. And this webinar could have an impact on your retirement portfolio for years, everybody. So, you know, there's a lot of them. Sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider. It's free on InvestTalk.com.
From the InvestTalk production crew, and all of the staff at KPP Financial, we wish you a happy and prosperous new year. And thanks for being part of our InvestTalk family.
888-99-CHART. InvestTalk is a two-way conversation, but if you have a question between programs, you still can ask. On the next program, I'll play it. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Jason. This is Joseph from Nigeria, and I have one question for you that is regarding about Yahoo. I'm considering for a long term to purchase. What is your opinion about Yahoo for a year or two? All right. Thank you, sir. Bye.
I don't care for Yahoo. I don't really. Yahoo, Y-H-O-O. And everybody knows it provides internet search, web content, shopping services, those kind of things. They've had so many problems recently, and they can't seem to get on the right side of things. They're going to make $1.50. Well, they made $1.57 in 2014. They're going to make 59 cents this year. Next year, they're going to make 57 cents a share. And the stock is not cheap. Selling at 45 PE. Why would you want to own a stock selling at that high of a PE with sales and profits falling? Now, I will say this. The last two, three quarters, sales seem to be increasing, but earnings are not. They're falling. It's a $33 stock, going to make 57 cents. Okay, well, what's 57 cents a share worth? That's next year's earnings. Well, if you even give it a market PE, that's $8 or $9. It's a $33 stock. It's just not worth it. It's not worth the money. I would not buy Yahoo. They've got too many issues, too many problems. They're selling their big acreage up in Santa Clara County. You know, they seem to be shrinking their whole operation. I don't know. I don't care for it. Let's go to Nick in Hayward. How you doing, Nick?
Yeah, hi, Steve.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for your nice show. I love it.
Thank you.
What do you think about this company called CalMaine? C-A-L-M, mm-hmm. like Mary.
CalMaine. Mm-hmm.
It's got a good dividend, and the P.E. seems to be low. I'm thinking about buying a few.
Yeah, it produces shell eggs that are distributed in the Southwest, Southeast, Midwest, Mid-Atlantic regions. And, you know, they're a big seller. It's a big company. Don't think it's small. It's $2.3 billion. I mean, it's not... Uh-huh. That's a small cap company, but it's not, you know, it's not small. It's pretty big for just the one product. Their sales and earnings are growing very, very nicely. That I like. I'm not, you know, they made $3.33 in 2015. They're supposed to make $8.23 this year and then go down $5.67. There's something wrong with those numbers. Too high. They may have purchased something. They bought a company right. or something, you know. And that's what it looks uh-huh. like is happens. You are correct. The PE is very, very low. It's a $47 stock. But I would, the sales are growing very fast. Their earnings are growing very fast. And I think you got to figure out why is that all of a sudden. It's going to be difficult because I guarantee you they bought some company that jumped up their earnings. But that's okay. Oh. And have a pretty high dividend. I kind of like the stock. I kind of like the
do you?
Yeah, I kind of do because it's cheap enough. I mean, the five year PE is 6 to 20, and it's right at 7. Has a very good return on equity, 25%. Has a very good cash flow. I kind of like the stock in general. And if you're going to buy it, this looks like a pretty decent price to buy
uh-huh.
that.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate the
Sounds
call.
Sounds good. Thank you for your advice.
Thanks, Nick. I appreciate it.
Very much, Steve.
Yeah. The only issue is how did it make such a huge jump in profits, and is that sustainable? That's really the issue. It did something. They did something with another company. They probably, I just don't have enough time to do the research here on air. China is still going to have more problems next year. Their problems are not over. They're going to have to make some pretty painful choices. It's just going to be a very difficult environment for China because they overbuilt. They're trying to move their economy to a consumer-driven economy. They still have lots of debt, bad debt they don't want to recognize. Reminds me of Japan many years ago. And they spent $500 billion to try to jumpstart their economy. That didn't work. So that may, you know, spending more, they have it, but spending more may not work again. Just not so sure China's going to turn around this year. Don't know. Our hour's up. We hope you felt this hour was worth your time. If you have a question or a comment, just call. We'd love to talk to you. You can get through a note to me by sending me an email at investtalk.com. Either way. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, I want to thank you for listening, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.